It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, everybody. This is episode...
What
is
it? I forgot to do the math. 41?
42, I think. 42.
This podcast is older than I am.
Yeah, that's... Wow. At least you're younger than the podcast at this point.
That's right.
Although the podcast hasn't been going for 42 years, just 42 weeks. Anyways, let's get into it here. Everybody, we are throwing you for a loop right now. This is a very fun, very exciting episode. Last week, we announced that we are going to do The Man. So... get ready for that for next week, because we're coming at you.
We're not bringing you The Man. We're bringing you a man.
All we're trying to say here is we have another special guest on today's episode. Everybody, please welcome my dear friend, Nina.
Hello.
Hey, Nina.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Sam and Rachel. What's up?
Thanks for coming into our pod today, Nina.
Of course.
Just a little backstory. Nina is an OG Swiftie, right? Like, you,
OG.
Yeah.
Like, debut.
Yeah, you date Rachel and I.
Epic.
In your Swiftiness. Yeah. Nina and I attended the Eras Tour together. High five to us. That was so much fun. I just want to say, before we really get into it, Nina and I attended a mutual friend's wedding last year, our dear friend Maddie. The date of that wedding was October 22nd. If we all remember what happened on October 21st, that's when we got Midnights, right?
Oh, man.
So, long story short... Nina and me and one other friend, we rented a car. This is in North Carolina, so we traveled to this wedding. We rented a car, and Midnights had just come out. I had listened to it the night before, and as the next morning, I'm picking Nina and our other friend up from the airport, and all I can think about is Midnights, and all I want to do is listen to Midnights. But... I was playing it cool. Like, nobody really knew that I was a huge Swiftie. And, Nina, didn't we, like, go to Target to, like...
We did.
Oh, I forgot to pack underwear for this trip.
Oh, that's right.
So we had to go to Target.
That's an excellent part of the story. Uh-huh. Keep going.
And I think what happened was, like, Taylor Swift had her display there. And somehow Nina was like, oh, that's right. Oh, Taylor Swift has a new album out today. And I was like...
That's right.
That's so interesting.
We both were like very like, Taylor.
We played it cool with each other at first. And then basically what happened is we drove a couple of hours to get to this wedding. And this was Nina's first listen of Midnights. Wow. It was my second listen. Nina's first listen. We put it on in the car. And that's when we learned how much into Taylor Swift each other was.
Wow.
Which is funny because we'd also been friends for like two years.
We had known each other for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But we had never talked about Taylor Swift before. Mm-hmm. So.
Is there anybody in your life now, Sam, that doesn't know that you're a Swiftie? Like, I feel like we're both.
Cat is out of the bag.
Now. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Benjamin Buttoned, Meredith Grey. What's her other cat's name?
Olivia
Benson.
Benson
are out of the bag.
Out of the bag.
I am officially coming out as a Swiftie on episode 42, in case you didn't know. Anyways, so Nina and I totally bonded over Taylor Swift, and we've been bonding ever since. Nina, welcome to this podcast. What we like to do with our guests is first ask, What is your connection to Taylor Swift? How deep of a Swiftie are you? When did she come into your life? Give us a little bit of a backstory of you and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well, I am an OG Swiftie, like you mentioned earlier, Sam. I know. I remember debut coming out, and like it was Tim McGraw was the first like radio single she had, and I remember listening to that and being like, this is it. Like, this is sweet. And then our song came out, and I was just, like, utterly obsessed ever since then. And I can tell you, like, every release where I've been in my point of life. And so I feel like I've grown up with her. And, like, each era has kind of tracked an era in my own life, which feels really cool. Like, my Speak Now era, which I'm really excited for, was, like, my early high school or middle high school. It was, like, 10th grade, I think it came out. And so, like, all of these, like, Speak Now feelings were very much, like, tied to that point in my life. And, like, ever since then, like, 1989 came out when I was in college. And then Reputation was when I was graduating college. So, like, they've all, like, tracked into these big moments in my own life. And so they've all been, like, parts of, yeah, like, every era of my life also tracks to her eras.
Totally. And that's like what so many fans, especially girls, love about Taylor Swift is they feel like she speaks to them and what they're going through, right?
Yeah, so like at the time.
To be around the same age and to be around the same like emotions as Taylor Swift, that I can only imagine how cathartic it would have been to like listen to these songs and emote and feel.
What was it like going to the Eras Tour and you yourself kind of like going back in time? What was that feeling like?
It was really cool. I mean, like going, I went to her Speak Now Tour and her Red Tour. So this is my third show I've been to. And like when she had her Red set, it was like the exact same Red set that she had originally. Or not exactly, but it was like the feeling, the vibe, the costumes. And so it was just like, it's fun to kind of like peer back into like your adolescence and like put yourself back in those shoes. And like what I was about to say was even with the re-records when she's dropping all these new songs, like even though I didn't know Foolish One off of the Speak Now Taylor's version, I'm like, this was my song. Like, that's what I needed when I was in that era. That's what I needed to hear. And like, I still can put myself back in time and be like, this is that feeling. This is what it felt like. I don't know. Her music, I think it's really powerful in that way.
Yes. She's like a traveler for us.
Totally. Yeah.
We definitely had the most fun during her Red set of the Eras Tour. That was one of my biggest memories of that night was the Red set. And that took me by surprise because I never like have felt emotionally connected to those songs, but gosh, did we have so much fun. So
it was so much fun. And yeah. I was going to say my favorite part of the Eras Tour was Reputation. Because I was not a Reputation fan. Like, that's when I was like, nope, not a Swiftie anymore.
We talked about this, actually. And how, like, I came onto Taylor Swift because of Reputation. You were like, really? That is so interesting.
Not my album.
Not your album.
But then, like, now I've been listening to it. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is so much better than I thought it was initially. Because, like, at each era, like, it was a turning point for her. And I remember, like, each turning point, like, from Speak Now into Red and Red into 1989, you're like, well, this is a totally different Taylor. And, like, talking to my friends and being like, do we like this new Taylor? Do we want the old Taylor back? And I remember, like, especially during Red, which is funny now, that Red was the era that I was like, we want Fearless Taylor back. And I was like, no, I'm like, no, Red Taylor was amazing. She was so much fun. And
Red Taylor rocks. But
Red Taylor rocks. And then I feel like I just had not a good appreciation for Reputation Taylor. And now I do.
I'm so glad that you do. Well, hold that thought about old Taylor versus new Taylor. I'm going to bring this up in just a little bit. But hold that thought for now. everybody listening to this episode, I guess the Eras Tour movie has been out for a week now, but we haven't seen it yet. Nina, are you going?
Yeah, I've been asking all my friends, and everyone's like, I'm not that big of a Swiftie. And I'm like, just come with me. Just come. Like, it'll still be fun.
It'll be fun no matter what.
Yeah. I also heard they're, like, dropping new merch at the movies, too. Like, AMCs are, like, exclusive Eras Tour movie merch. I don't know.
I think it's just the cups and the popcorn buckets, which look amazing.
I heard there was more. I heard there was, like, tote bags and other stuff, too. Mm. But again, this is internet rumors. I don't know. I have to go find
an AMC. Well, the Swiggies listening right now know. And I can't wait to find out what we get. I mean, I was a little jealous. I was going to go Friday night and be the first show. And now we got more shows coming out tonight. Yeah. So I'm not the first. And that's okay. Sam, you're doing a Sunday matinee.
I'm doing a Sunday matinee. So that's the Taylor T I've got for this week. I'm really excited to get into this episode. Nina, we like to sort of introduce, and technically we haven't introduced this song yet, because at the end of every episode we announce what we're doing next week, but we didn't do that for last week. So why don't you do the honors, Nina? You chose the song this week. Tell the listeners which song we're breaking down.
Okay, so I chose this song because Big Speak Now Girl, it's also getting into fall, and everyone's like, Red is the fall album, and I'm like, well, hold on. Mm-hmm. Think about Speak Now, and there's this one song that is really, really fall to me, and very sad and dark and rainy and stormy, just like it is outside my house right now.
Same, yeah.
And that song is Haunted.
Is that your orchestration of sound effect?
That was my strings. Yeah.
Also, I guess Speak Now, Nina, you can jog your memory. I think Speak Now came out like this week in 2010. I think it came out in late October, correct?
It did.
Does that seem right?
Yeah. I think it was like, so many of her albums came out within the last, like, 2 weeks of October.
And yeah,
so,
like, I've noticed.
I think it's Speak Now, Red, Midnights, and Fearless.
I think 1989 OG and Taylor's version.
And now Taylor's version. There's so many.
Yeah.
I probably should get fact-checked.
She loves an October release. So we're approaching the 13th anniversary of this song originally hitting our ears. And yes, you chose wisely.
Excellent song to get into our Halloween vibes.
Yes.
If you hadn't chosen it, I would have. So I am very excited, Nina. Good pick.
Totally. Yes. When I told Rachel that you were choosing a song, Nina, she guessed correctly. She sort of had a feeling.
Amazing.
I don't know how she pulled that out of her brains, but okay. But we cannot forget to get into our new shit this week. We're doing good. We're on some new shit. We love to talk about what new music we're listening to. Sometimes it ends up just being Taylor Swift, but we'll find out. I'll go first this week. One of my favorite artists of last year was this guy called Petey. I don't know why I enunciated it so well. Petey is the guy's name. He is a songwriter, music producer that actually rose to fame during the pandemic because of his TikTok videos. And his TikTok videos are not musical related. They're sort of like comedic sketches that are awkward and absurd, but he's so funny in them that he's gained all these millions of followers. But he also happens to be a really talented musician. His songwriting is like very heartfelt and like, he almost like scream talks in his songs. I've really vibed with his music last year, so I'm bringing him up because he just put out a new album a couple of weeks ago called USA. And the one song in particular I want to talk about, Rachel, this is sort of because of you that I want to talk about this song.
Oh.
The song is called Home Alone House.
Now I'm feeling weird, yeah, I'm feeling stressed out. We was down the street from the famous Home Alone House. Thinking Olivia's getting
old. This is like one of our favorite movies of all time is Home Alone. So he has a song called Home Alone House. He grew up in the Chicago area, which is where the Home Alone House is. And he talks about, like, the song is about this, like, other situation happening, but it happened down the street from the Home Alone house. So he brings this up
what?
A lot. And he has a lot of, like, beats and really cool tracks in his songs. And again, it's just, like, honest and vulnerable. And I've been really digging his new album. So PD is my choice for new shit this week.
Nina, what are you listening to any new shit? What do you got going?
It's really hard to listen to new shit when all you can think about is Taylor Swift.
welcome to the podcast.
I don't have that problem at all.
This is why we insert this segment, because it's almost like forcing ourselves
So when I don't listen to Taylor Swift, lately I've been listening to Goth Babe, who's like indie surf rock, but just kind of nice and chill. He doesn't have a lot out. I think it's just the one guy, but it's just like kind of nice indie surf rock, which is,
I love surf rock.
I do too. And it's a little nice to not like think about the songs super hard. Like I do with Taylor Swift.
I love that. Yes. I love yes. It's good to have just some like not English class type. English lit type songs to listen to, right?
Exactly. I'm like, oh, it's just like light and airy and, you know.
That is until somebody wants to start a Goth Babe podcast and break down lyric by lyric
from every single
song. Nina, I like to include song clips. Do you have a favorite song?
Oh, gosh. Weekend Friend. That's a good one. Darling, what you It's his number one on Spotify too.
Love it. Okay, cannot wait to drink this cocktail. So Rachel, get us into your new shit, please.
All right. So my new shit, you know, I've been telling you, I've been listening to a lot of music lately, so I've been holding on to this one for a while.
Yeah.
But I bring it up this week because I was listening to a Song Exploder podcast episode.
Oh, I forgot about that pod.
Which is an incredible podcast, and I'm just waiting for Taylor Swift to be on that podcast. If you don't know anything about that podcast, Swiggies, this is, it's kind of similar to what we do, where they break down, like, the layers of a song and the elements of a song and how a song gets made. But the interviewer, Rishikesh, I can never say his name very well, he pulls himself out of it, and it's just the musical artist that talks about the song and the ways that they built that song. It's fascinating. I'm obsessed with it. And I happened to listen to one with Noah Kahan.
Yeah.
And
I've been waiting for him to make an appearance on our podcast.
Yes. So I'd already started to listen to his new album that came out this year, Stick Season. But he broke down the song Stick Season. Is it? No. Season of the Sticks. The song, he says Season of the Sticks, but the album is called Stick Season, right? Okay.
Correct, yeah.
And it was incredible to hear how he came up with that song and the ways that it changed as it went along, and to hear his background in just struggles with mental health. And it is such a lovely vibe, the whole album. Stick Season is an incredible song. Northern Altitude is a wonderful song. But Orange Juice is a song that is an incredible one to listen to, but it's great if you watch Chats and Reacts, because we bring them up a lot. And they did a first listen of this album, and they always, like, before they listen to the song, kind of like talk about it. And I especially loved when this song came up, Orange Juice, and the one was like, oh my gosh, I love Orange Juice. So I bet this is gonna be really like a bubbly, like fun, peppy song. It's absolutely not at all, but it really has a great story. So
you said my heart has changed and my soul has changed in my heart.
Go listen to that album. Listen to Stick Season. It's a great one for the fall vibes. Orange Juice is about sober, like getting sober.
Gotcha. On that note, let's drink cocktails.
Hey, let's not get sober and let's get to drinking.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we've established that we're going to do the song Haunted. Ladies, I have to admit, this was tricky for me to come up with a cocktail for this one. Do you guys mind if I go first? Just because, like, okay. I really have been waiting to drink this for so long.
Let's absolutely go with the patriarchy and not let ladies go first.
Oh, gosh. Getting called out for what it is.
You know what? Save the best for last. Go ahead, Sam.
All right. So I will lead off. It is... Okay, so let me tell you what's in it, right? It doesn't have a direct connection with the song. I'm just going to be honest about that. The cocktail itself is like a Halloween cocktail, which we're getting in Haunted. She talks about being haunted by this like person in this relationship. And that just reminds me of the haunting season of Halloween. So that's my cocktail. I made a pumpkin spiced margarita, believe it or not. It's essentially the same ingredients as you would put in a regular margarita. It's got your tequila, use reposado, it's got your lime juice, it's got Cointreau, and the sweetener is that I made a pumpkin syrup and I spiced it with, you know, cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves and allspice and ginger, ground ginger. So that's the sweetness. It's like a pumpkin spice syrup that goes into this cocktail. And you know, it's different. It's not bad. It's not the best cocktail I've ever come up with, but it's very fall, haunting, October, Halloween-ish. And I guess here's the one little connection I can make. Tequila, oftentimes so many people are like, I don't drink tequila. It haunts me from my earlier days, right? I feel like it's the most popular spirit to like feel haunted by. Not me. I love tequila. But do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people just, like, have bad memories from tequila. So,
that was I don't, but I hear that.
So, I don't have a proper name for it. It is a pumpkin margarita. And
I think you need to call it I'm Haunted.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I will. Okay, saving the best for last. Rachel, you go next.
Okay. So... I was thinking about this line that I really like, something's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, good line.
And I've been wanting to make this cocktail, but it sounds wrong. And this felt like the right place to bring it. The technical name for this cocktail, it's a Spanish cocktail called Calamaxo.
Okay.
And which is sounds so lovely for the name of equal parts red wine and Coca-Cola.
Whoa. Okay. Uh-huh.
And I know that sounds terribly wrong, but it is terribly delicious. Okay. And I wanted to, similar to you, Sam, wanted to give it a haunted, like I didn't want it just to be red wine. I want that red wine to be haunted with flavors that you just can't of fall. So you steep the red wine and kind of like gently simmer it with ginger and cardamom and cloves and cinnamon and lemon peel. This is kind of similar to your cocktail from, I don't remember, Sam, when you made the delicate, when you made your dive bar cocktail.
Oh, yeah. I was replicating the flavors of Coca-Cola.
Okay, so you almost, like, bring those flavors into the red wine, but it gives it this, like, cinnamony flavor. And you can use really terrible red wine. Like, something's gone terribly wrong with your red wine. So use it. Add some Coca-Cola to it, and you will surprise your guests. And this is a perfect one to make for a pitcher cocktail if you're gonna let's say have a Halloween party, or maybe you're gonna have a 1989 listening party the day after it came out or something like that. Anyway, this one's easy. This is like, grab your red wine, grab your Coke, and you have a cocktail and you're gonna surprise people. So something's gone terribly wrong, but it's also terribly delicious.
Yum. 2 out of 3. Cheers. That sounds so good.
Cheers.
Okay, Nina, no pressure, but we have saved the best for last, so bring it. What you got?
I feel a lot of pressure. You guys are way more creative than I am. I have a poison apple.
Ooh.
Yes. Love it.
I decided, haunted, very Halloween, going on the vibes, and, like, also back when I went to her concert, her Speak Now concert, it was, like, dark woods, and it felt like we were in a fairy tale, and, like, it was creepy, so I kind of leaned into that vibe and feeling more than the lyrics. So I just have whiskey and apple cider from Big B's down the street.
Right.
And pumpkin spice to top it off. And then I put it all together and then put some mulling spices in there and shuck it up. And so maybe I have a little haunted flavors as well, just like you guys.
We all have this same theme of, like, fall spice in our cocktails.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
Taylor would be so proud. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers. We're bringing in our happy girl fall to this. Or maybe some angry girl or some anxious girl. I don't know. Anxious girl fall vibes.
There's a lot of emotions in this song. I don't think any of them are happy, though. Let's drink our cocktails, and then we'll feel happy as we describe this, like, kind of intense emotional song. Okay, so we're going to break down this song in 3 categories. We like to first talk about the spirit of the song, which is the general meaning and the vibe that the song gives off, before we move into the musical mixology, where we're going to sort of break down the sounds that we're hearing. And there's some rich sounds in this song. Mm. Last but not least, Taylor with a twist. We're going to talk about these lyrics. What is she talking about? How does she twist these lyrics and make it all come together in a creative and heart-wrenching way, right? Now, Nina, this is your song choice. I would love to hear your take on the spirit of the song Haunted. Like, what is the spirit of the song to you? What does it mean to you, to all of us? What does it mean to Taylor?
I think, oh gosh. Okay, so I'm going to put myself back in, like, 10th grade Nino when I first heard the song and, like, channel that energy, because when I grew up hearing it, it was like you're in this, like, situationship, and then he all of a sudden, or she just ghosts you, and, like, you thought everything was going well, and you thought it was, like, really headed in the right direction, and then all of a sudden, like, there's just a flip of the switch, and everything changes, and now, like, you're still kind of, like, chasing after this ghost that is fleeing away from you.
Interesting.
Then I was like, okay, that's my vibes of this. I went on Reddit today, though, and I want to share this with you guys.
The deep dive of Reddit.
The deep dive of Reddit.
You know I love a Reddit.
And I found this Reddit thread about Haunted, and I didn't know this, but apparently there's a very big group of Swifties who thinks that this song was Taylor Swift writing it for the New Moon soundtrack.
Yes! Nina, I went down this same rabbit hole today, and I'm here for this.
And I heard that, and I was like, because, you know, I thought it was just, like, about one of the boys that had, like, kind of ghosted her, and then I saw this, and I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I've listened to this song maybe, like, 7 times today. I'm like, I get it now.
Okay, so fill me in on how does this connect with New Moon. You're talking about Twilight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with the story. Yeah. How does this connect?
So I think the fan theory on Reddit was that in New Moon, it was she was dating Edward, and then Edward left, and she was, like, finding comfort with Jacob the werewolf.
Taylor Lautner?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And so, like, Bella was, like, finding comfort in Jacob, but it wasn't who she truly loved. It wasn't who she wanted. She wanted Edward still. And Edward was like, I can't have you. Like, we can't be together. I have to protect you by leaving you. And this whole fan theory was like, it was at the same time that like New Moon was really, really big, or Twilight was really, really big. And
also Taylor, that the same time that she was dating Taylor Locke.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So, and I wonder if she like wrote it kind of hoping to get on the soundtrack, and then Stephanie Myers was like, no.
Okay, funny you should say that, because I've got this incredible quote from the, was it Stephanie Myers as the director? I think this.
She was the author writer. Of the book. Yeah, the I don't know who
okay.
the director
so,
was.
So, no. Okay, so this is from the director or the producer of the movie, and I don't remember who it was. Said, my agent said, listen, Taylor Swift is a huge Twilight fan. She would love to be in this movie. And she would be like an extra. Here's the asshole that I am. I was like, I don't know. I think that would throw from the movie too much seeing Taylor Swift. So I said no. And now I look back on it, like, I could have been friends with Taylor Swift, but I was like, it's going to throw from the movie about sparkly vampires and werewolves. What an idiot. That's what he said. He called himself an idiot, like, suddenly realized, like, oh my gosh, I could have had my biggest moment with Taylor Swift, and I blew it.
Wait, who said that?
The producer, director, whatever.
The director did.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Like, had an opportunity to bring her on just as, like, an extra because she was a huge fan. And he's like, nah, no, that'll just distract us from these really important vampires and werewolves.
Well, so that's a good transition, because what I want to bring up is this song, Speak Now as a whole, has such this, like, dark kind of emo vibe to it. Which is a total shift from Debut and Fearless, where
okay,
it's sort
I disagree.
Of like,
I feel like Speak Now has a side A, side B. So,
yeah.
It has a Sparks. I saw this also on Reddit, where it has a Sparks Fly side and a Haunted side. Okay.
Totally.
Or like an Enchanted side and a Haunted side.
Oh, that's what it was. Enchanted and Haunted. We have
or like a
Look
emotions. What You Made Me Do and a Dress side. Like,
yes.
This is sort of a theme that we get in her albums.
Yes.
Where there's like kind of two sides. It's not like chronological necessarily. They're intermixed within the album.
Right.
But I don't think it was until Midnights where she actually like called a side A and a side B. But I guess my point is, a lot of the songs we get on Speak Now sonically, and maybe this is a good transition, is like you get more guitar, like electric guitar. It reminds me a lot of the emo music I was listening to when I was in middle school and early high school. And this song is far from any exception. I think it might be the most quote unquote emo song that we get. Would also put this next
totally
to Better
agree.
Than Revenge. Like, those two are just like, and do you know what I mean when I say emo? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. It's got that punk rock.
Yeah.
Like emo, Paramore, what else
Fall
was
Out
really
Boy.
Popular at that time?
Fall Out Boy.
Which we know that those were her inspirations. Yes. She literally paired up with them for the re-record of this album. And so the fact that the director was maybe thinking Taylor Swift doesn't fit this vibe, like Taylor Swift is too fairy tale, right? And that's a part of Sparks Speak Now. But then we get these like really dark, are we calling this song dark? Like, would we call it dark? It's kind of dark.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It has dark, it has chaotic, like anxiety, like almost out of the woods vibes, like that, like anxious chaos. Mm-hmm.
She does repeat some words in this song.
She does.
Which we've talked about, when Taylor repeats words to herself, it's like her convincing herself something, because something is like gone terribly wrong maybe, and she needs to like repeat these lyrics over and over to sort of like get through it. But we're not at the lyrics yet. So let's talk about the musical mixology of this song. We've kind of hinted at it a little bit. It's dark. It's emo. The one thing that sticks out to me are these church bells. Like, those.
Oh, my gosh.
And Nina, please tell us. Like, I didn't see the live performance of this song during our Speak Now tour. But my understanding is there was like giant church bells on stage.
There were giant church bells. And it was like, she comes out and it's like a 7-8 foot tall church bell. And she has this gavel and she just starts banging on it.
She bangs it too?
She bangs on it and she just starts setting the beat up. And like the whole atmosphere of the whole stadium just shifts. Like I vividly remember that whole song. And this was like, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
And it just like gets really dark. And then the mist comes and the trees come. And then the violins and everything starts up. But those big church bells really like is our gateway in.
Well, this is where I want to bring up Home Alone again, because those church bells remind me of that famous scene when he's in the church and the church bells sound. It's like 8 o'clock. He's got to run home and set up the traps in 1 hour. How does he do that in 1 hour? Come on, movie magic. Help me understand that. That's a different podcast episode, so we're not really going to go deep into that. But anyways, that's the other Home Alone reference. It reminds me
that's
of
such.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a good reference because it does, it starts off soft. Now, what I find powerful about this song itself is there is no gradual buildup. Mm-hmm. Like, we dive right into the strings immediately on first sound. And what an incredible punch from Innocent, which is just kind of like sweet and cute. And then it's just like, dun, 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 dun. And like, you're all of a sudden, like, you're suddenly like, thrust into the woods like you were talking about, Nina, that I imagine that she was illustrating. It's just incredible. What I'd like to know, Nina, as like an OG Swiftie, when you listen to the Taylor's version,
yes, I wanted to ask this.
Did you notice something different? Like, did it give a different vibe to you? What were your thoughts?
I really thought that it was going to. Like, when I first heard that Taylor Swift was doing all the re-recordings and I listened to Taylor's version Fearless first, I was like, oh, she didn't change it as much as I thought she was going to. And I feel like that has kind of stuck true with every re-record. Like, we'll get different new little bits, but I don't feel like the actual, like, producing is necessarily that different. I mean, obviously her vocals are a lot more mature and that's beautiful to hear. And there's little changes, but I think on the whole, at least I don't notice major shifts in the music.
So when you want to listen to Speak Now, you have no problem listening to Taylor's version?
Oh, no. No, okay. We're all Taylor's version.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
obviously.
How's everyone's cocktails?
They're good. It's going down quickly.
Yeah.
I know, I'm like almost gone with mine, which is good. I'm going to need that liquid courage to get me through these lyrics because I've got some questions for you guys.
Yeah, I had a lot of question marks, so Nina, be ready to jump in.
All right.
Nina, you're going to answer all of them.
The answers. Let's see.
Expert correspondent. Okay, great.
Let's just start with this first verse.
Yeah.
You and I walk a fragile line. I have known it all this time, but I never thought
I'd
live
to see it. I love it when
you read, Sam. I think my missed calling was truly a kindergarten school teacher where I read books to the class. I think that's my missed calling.
You could still do that, Sam.
It's not too late. Nina, you are a teacher.
Yeah.
Represent. Put in a good word for me.
Yeah.
But please don't read books. Read Taylor Swift lyrics.
That is truly a college level class. Maybe not for kindergartners, but okay, so let's break down this first part of this verse. You and I walk a fragile line. I have known it all this time, but I never thought I'd live to see it break. What's she saying here, right? Like it sounds like she knew that whoever she's talking about, this relationship, it sounds like she knew that, like, it was like walking on eggshells almost. Like, it was a very, like, walking on thin ice sort of thing. Is that the vibe we're getting?
Yes. I think so. I think We also see, especially in Speak Now, like, I never thought I'd live to see it break. It's a little dramatic because she knew it was so bad. She knew. And I'm like, you knew, Taylor. Like, you knew it was going to break. You were hopeful.
I said that same thing. I was like, really?
Because that's, like, she wants ours. She wants, like, this nice little love song, this nice little ours. I didn't think it was ever going to break. But, yeah, we were walking on eggshells, and it's a fragile one. She's a little dramatic.
She is so dramatic in this song. And I understand why she's dramatic, because she's very heartbroken. Now, you guys are completely throwing me off, because you've introduced this other theory that this isn't from her perspective, and now I'm, like, totally thrown off by that.
Yeah.
But
that's why I had to listen to it so much today.
Well, okay, so what I was imagining as soon as I read this line was exile balancing on breaking branches. And there's an example, which is probably one of my favorite lines from that song. And that, like, there's an example of how she would write kind of the same thing, only differently and more poetically. So later on in life. I do wonder, I think you must be right, like, now that you say, like, she knew all along that it was going to break. Because in this line, it says, like, I never thought I'd live to see it break, but I think she's said, thinking, past me never thought I'd live to see it break, but now I see it. It is happening.
Mm-hmm. So dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, it is emo. Like, we're getting emo. We're getting emo, Taylor, and...
So you're right connecting this song to exile.
Yeah.
Which, that's great. I love that. I mean, Exile is such a good song because we get both perspectives. Like, all the time, we only get her perspective. And I actually wanted to bring this up because I feel like a theme that we get in all of Taylor Swift's breakup songs are she was in the right and he was in the wrong. And I question this. It's like, how often is it that... And I know that's from her perspective, so she's never going to admit, like, when she's going through heartbreak, that it wasn't his fault. But
except, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
But they're not all like that, Sam. Did you just say Back to December?
Yeah, I was like, Back to December.
Back to December and Afterglow are the two that I can make an exception of.
I think a lot of Midnights, she talks about like, how
Midnight
it,
Rain,
like, broke
yes,
down.
Okay.
But I
you're
feel
right.
like
you're
we,
totally right.
I don't think we ever got that Taylor until Midnights. I think, like, it was very rare for us to see her, like, taking fault, taking ownership over it for most of her discography. And I even wonder, because Sam and I were talking about how Midnights is so, like, self-flagellating. I don't know what else to say, but, like... she was so self-deprecating. Was it her producers that didn't want her to put out those songs? Because then on the re-records, we see a lot more of those, like, deeper feelings.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, I did mess up. And so I wonder how much of it was more just, like, from a marketing perspective, from a
producer. Like, her record label totally had control over the songs that she would put out.
Totally.
I can completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Also, ew. Like...
I know. I know. But this song, of course, is, like, pissed off Taylor about how he wronged her. And that's what we're getting here. Moving on.
I'm sorry. Not to stop you, but I'm not getting anger. I'm getting desperation.
I get desperation, too. I mean, it sounds angry, but lyrically, I think you're right. It's a little bit more desperation. You're right. And
fear.
And still a little bit of hopeful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fearful.
I want to hold on to this hope, but I've lost it.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't want to admit that I've lost it yet, because I still want to be hopeful.
My number one question in the entire song is right here. It's coming over you like it's all a big mistake. I'm really confused by this line. My thought is, earlier she talks about it's getting dark. There's a storm building. Is that what's coming over you? And it's all a big mistake? Like, who's recognizing that it's a big mistake?
Yeah, I said I don't get this line. What is she saying? Like, I get that she's like, it's dark, it's quiet, I can't trust anything. Like, that's the fear. it's coming over you like it's all a big mistake. Like, it's just saying, like, I've been feeling this way. I've been feeling the darkness, the quiet, and now you're feeling it too?
Or is it getting dark because he's realized it's a big mistake? And when I heard the new moon theory, I was like, that makes sense, because Edward was like, oh, I shouldn't be in love with a human. This was a mistake to even get into this relationship in the first place.
Yeah.
I think and you're now right. It's coming into you. And I think, like, even if it's not about Edward Cullen, it could still be about just, like, whatever partner she's with, like, him coming to realize he didn't want to be in this relationship, and now he's, like, slowly pulling back, and his light is being drawn away from her. And
it's but she's singing, like for him, like, it's all a big mistake. She does not recognize this as a big mistake. But she's recognizing that maybe for him, he's seeing it like it's all a big mistake. Like, she's becoming aware of how he's feeling. This whole first verse is her recognizing that there's a distance building between them. Yes. And she's coming, I don't know if she's, like, coming to terms. I don't, maybe it's too soon to say that she's coming to terms with this, but she's starting to see these signs that whatever they have is no longer, like, what she wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do we call this next part? A pre-chorus?
I suppose so. Whoa, holding my breath.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy, again, I really like the way that this part is something's made your eyes go cold. Like there's like the... It's just, like, really emphasized, and that really, you can, like, hear the desperation of almost her trying to say, maybe this goes back to, like, you think it's all a mistake, like, your eyes are going cold, wait, like, come back to me, because that's what she's about to say.
Yeah.
And, like, wake him up to, like, your eyes are going cold, you're moving away from me, this is what's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have gotten ourselves into the chorus here, and this is a fantastic chorus. This entire chorus is like one of those that you just want to scream.
Absolutely.
Like, you cannot help it. This is Speak Now's Cruel Summer, okay? Like, this is I mean, you want to. Come on. Like, you just can feel it.
Yeah, this is where we get that desperation from her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's like begging, come on, don't leave me like this. She's so desperate at this point to not let this go. But it's almost like, I think the vibe of this chorus is not that she's trying to get him to stay. It's almost like she knows that she's haunted and she's going to be haunted, and it's like an exasperation of like, damn it, like, come on, please, now I'm haunted, I cannot go back. I think she realizes it's long gone at this point.
Yeah.
So desperation maybe, but also just like, maybe it is anger, Rachel, I don't know. I think it's definitely got some of that vibes in this chorus.
I'm not getting that. I am getting her still trying. I think later when the chorus changes, as she does in some choruses, like, as changes her chorus.
Does the chorus change?
It does.
It does. Very subtle at the very, very end. So we'll get there. Mm-hmm. I think she's still trying. Like, she says, I thought I had you figured out, and then something's gone wrong. I think this is her saying, like, I think you're right when she says, like, won't lose you again. Like, maybe this keeps happening. And she's just like, gosh, I thought I figured it out the last time. And like, no, come on. Like, I feel like she's trying to pull him back in. Like, his eyes are going cold and she's losing him. Stop. You're losing me.
Okay, drink every time we bring up the song every you're losing episode. Me on this podcast. It's pretty much every episode.
But I was just thinking, like, can't breathe whenever you're gone. Like, you, when you're singing this, you literally, if you don't breathe while you're singing it. Like, it's hard to breathe when you get done with it. And I don't think she's angry yet, because I don't think she's letting her breath out. I think she's still trying to hold on, like you said, Nina. And she literally says it later on. So we'll get there.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
Dress, where she sings, "You made your mark on me, a golden tattoo." Now, in that song, she's saying that, like, she's almost haunted in a positive way. The golden tattoo is, like, Joe Alwyn's, like, positive mark on her heart. But she sings in that song, "You've made your mark on me. Like, my heart is forever changed." In that song, it's, like, it's golden. But this is similar energy. Like, yeah, the idea of her being haunted, and we need to talk about this. It's the song, right? "I'm haunted," to me, is a permanent feeling that she'll never be able to escape from, like a tattoo, whether it's golden or it's black or it's painful, whatever. Like, being haunted is truly the worst experience you can have from somebody who is not leaving you alone, even though they're not there in the physical anymore. And she's expressing this, like, she can't turn back now. She's haunted. She is fully succumbed. There's no reversing the way that she feels anymore. She will forever be haunted. That's why I think it's the most deep line of the entire song is like the title line. "Can't turn back now, I'm haunted." You just feel like, wow, there's no escape. She has no escape from this, right?
I was also noticing, just as you were talking, that the song is in past tense. Like, I watched you walk away, that kind of thing. But I am haunted is present tense.
Right.
So, like you said, she is and always will be whenever she sings this. Like, whenever the song is sung. Presently haunted.
Probably why she didn't choose to sing it on the Eras Tour, because she's like, no, fuck that feeling. I don't want to be reminded of that feeling.
And, like, whatever experience this was, like, I could be this guy ghosting you, this guy giving you a lot, and then drawing it all back and running away. That's a scar that's going to stay with you, just like you were saying. Like, that's always going to stick with you, and that's going to give you a certain amount of, like, fear in every relationship you go into in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she talks about that a lot. We got another verse to hit up, so we better get into it.
Hit it up, Rachel. Mm-hmm.
"Stood there and watched you walk away from everything we had, but I still mean every word I said
talk
to
about
you."
Drama.
I was just about to say, like, this is drama. She is being dramatic again.
What did she say? That's my question. What did she say?
Well, that I kind of hinted at this. I think she thinks she said really genuine, heartfelt things like, "I love you. You are the man for me. I want to be with you for the..." I think she feels like this relationship was a forever thing, and that's why this is, like, so haunting to her. That's why this is such, like, a traumatic experience, because she thought that this was, like, the one, and she still means those things because she's still expressing these, she's still feeling this love for him. "I still mean every word I said to you." I just think that she was just saying, like, sweet nothings.
Yeah. Does the girl ever not think this is the one?
I don't think Travis ever. Kelce she thinks is the one.
Oh, you don't? You
I don't think she ever thought Calvin Harris is the one. Or Tom Hiddleston.
No.
Okay, so maybe she's finally learning how to just have fun.
Well, I think she had fun back in her 1989 era. And... But this, whether it was John Mayer, Joe Jonas, Jake Gyllenhaal, Taylor Lautner, no. But she felt deep love for these people.
But I also feel like, again, from when I was going through this era, like, there's just a level of, like, you're 18, 19 years old. Like, you think love is going to last forever. And, like, I think we're, like, everyone's like, oh, she always thinks that this person's the one. And I was like, no, she's being a dramatic 18-year-old. Like, we were all dramatic at that age. We all, like, wanted that love. And so I think, I don't know, the whole the one thing. I'm like, Joe was the only one who I think she, like, genuinely thought she was going to spend the rest of her life
with. Interesting. Yeah. No doubt she felt that with Joe. but I think that was more from a mature standpoint. Whereas these early relationships, like, you're right, she was 18, and you feel like whoever you're dating when you're at that age, you feel like that is the one. And there's no beyond. Like, we'll never break up. Although she does say at the beginning of the song, we walked a fragile thin line. Like, she was aware.
She knew.
She knew.
Which makes me think that this was, like, the second time John came into her life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was like, he's back again to haunt me.
Son of a bitch. And why do I love John Mayer?
I don't know.
I know. It sucks.
No one here knows why.
I had to bring it up.
Okay. Well, let's move on because he will try to take away our pain. And he makes me smile, but the whole time I'm wishing he was you instead. This is giving very The Way I Loved You from Fearless. Mm-hmm. Like, I always, like, he's perfectly fine, but he doesn't make me dance in the rain or whatever. He doesn't make me feel things. Like, I think she really does like to feel things. This is why I think she was with Joe Alwyn for so long, because they had a tumultuous relationship and they kept going back and forth and back and forth. I think she likes that.
I think our homegirl gets a little hot by that kind of stuff. Yeah, totally. Yeah. But that's not really what she's saying here. I think she's saying she's gonna be with somebody else to try to make the pain go away. But
no. Do you think so? You think that's what she's trying to say?
Well, I guess. I don't know. I'm convinced.
Like, she's trying to have a rebound.
Yeah, it's like a rebound, essentially, right?
She's trying to move on.
I think it's an important thing to note that she ends this line with the word instead, which doesn't rhyme with anything in this verse at all, but it does rhyme with haunted and wanted and haunted.
It does? How does
instead haunted, wanted, you know?
Okay.
But, like, to put it at the end of this verse, there's no other word in this verse prior to that that it rhymes with. Not that she needs to rhyme, but
It also, like, she also exaggerates it at the end of that line, too.
She,
like,
does.
I'm wishing it was you instead.
Yeah, like, there's like a break.
It's really long.
Mm-hmm, before it, yes.
It's just,
I don't know if it's necessarily rhyming, but I think it's definitely like a punch.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that extra drama.
The same way that she did Eyes Go Cold.
Yes.
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 Yeah, she's really trying to emphasize that. On these syllables.
But in the first verse that ends with big mistake, she rhymes it with never thought I'd live to see it break. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But my point is, this doesn't match the same rhyming scheme that she gives in the first verse.
Yeah.
Because if she was going to match it, it would rhyme with, but I still mean every word I said to you. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, I'm wishing he was you instead. There's no rhyming there. So I just think it's interesting. I feel like that word instead was intentionally there to set up for the idea of haunted. Or maybe the guy's name is Ted, and she just really wants to say Ted whenever opportunity she has. You're all Ted. I want, Ted.
Is Ted the secret relationship we don't know about?
Ted Cruz, maybe?
Years. Ted Cruz?
Who's Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz is the governor of Texas.
I'm sorry.
No, he's a senator, isn't he?
The senator from Texas. Sorry, that's the scandal.
Okay.
That's who this song is about.
Okay.
We've cracked
the code. No, moving on. Okay.
Fine.
Holding my breath. Won't see you again. Something keeps me holding on to nothing. This is interesting. This is that part that you mentioned, Nina, about, like, she's holding on. She's holding on to nothing.
It's a sad line.
It's a really sad line.
Yeah.
But I think she also, I think maybe this is the part where she comes around and she's starting to realize, like, that it is gone. Like, up until this point, we're like, she's been hopeful. And now it's like, nope. I've been holding on to nothing.
She knows now that it's nothing. Mm-hmm. That nothing is what it is. Like, there's literally nothing there for her anymore. But she can't help it. Like, she keeps holding on to it.
Well, I think that she recognized her delusion. But she still thinks there's something there.
She's
because
delusional.
She says, some,
oh, my gosh.
Something keeps me. Something is there.
That's true.
And it's the something that is haunting her. Like, she can't... Mm. She can't see it. She can't name it. She doesn't even actually know why she can't move on. Because she can't... She can't name it.
Yeah. Poor girl.
Yeah.
Poor thing. Yeah.
And
seriously,
I think
I feel for her.
If this is about John Mayer... Sure, this is a fun theory. If it is about John Mayer, it took her 13 years to be like, wait a second. You took my girlhood first. And that's why I can't let go. I am haunted.
Yes. That's why she's haunted.
That's so is that haunted. What she's holding on to is her girlhood, you think?
She doesn't know it yet. But maybe.
She knows it by woulda, coulda, shoulda. Oh, that hurts.
I know, it hurts, and that's a whole other song.
And it sucks now going back, and you're like, oh, she didn't even realize that, and now it's 13 years later, we're just figuring out that something.
That's why Midnights is so deep,
so good.
Because
so
it, like, good. Brings you to all this awareness that she maybe didn't even have at the time, and now, and we didn't either, obviously.
So
good. Okay, you guys mentioned that the second chorus is different from the first.
No,
is
it's
right?
it's the third chorus. Third so we
chorus.
Get
okay,
a,
okay.
We get a second chorus. There's nothing different. Mm-hmm. She's still haunted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then we get one of my favorite parts, which I guess is the bridge.
Interesting. You're talking about the bridge.
So mm-hmm. I love this when she says, I know, I just know what I'm thinking. Because there could be different ways of thinking about this. Like, okay, I know that you're gone, that you're not gone. You can't be gone. I know that. I know it. And she's repeating it. But what I was thinking is the Phoebe Bridgers song, I Know the End. Do you know that song?
Yes. I love Phoebe Bridgers.
I don't know that song.
That's probably one of my favorite Phoebe Bridgers songs. And it makes me sob every time because she says, I know. Like, she knows it's the end. Mm-hmm. And she sings, I know. But she can't, she's not quite ready. Like, I know it's the end. Oh my God, it's so great.
I gotta go now. I know.
And that's what I'm getting here. Like, she's just like, I know, but I'm still haunted.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly what she's trying to convey here.
And she doesn't want to let it go. Like, she doesn't, again, going down this theory of John Mayer and her girlhood, like, she doesn't want to let that go to someone who isn't going to be there.
Yeah.
And so she's, like, almost pleading with this and, like, trying to be like, it has to be you. It has to, like, we have to stay together. This is the thing that's haunting me. Like, if we're not, then what did I do this for?
Yeah. So, lyrically, she sings, I know, I just know. And then she goes on to saying, you're not gone, you can't be gone, no. But the background vocals is still her, it's soft. And maybe you guys
can hear it
as well. Mm-hmm. She's singing in the background, even as she moves on from this I know part. She's still singing in the background, mm-hmm. I know. It's like this whole, like, repetition is what she needs to, like, mm-hmm. kind of guide her to where she needs to be emotionally.
You're not gone, you can't be gone.
You're not gone, you can't be gone. It's the stage of grief where it's denial. Yeah, it's a deep moment. The bridge, like, doesn't have a lot of lines to it, like we get in a lot of Taylor Swift songs, but that's kind of the idea here. It's just like, it's like a really simple thought that she's going through. Mm-hmm.
We're moving on to our last chorus, and this is the part mm-hmm. where we're going to get something that's a little different. After she sings, something's gone terribly wrong, instead of singing, you're all I wanted, she says, won't finish what you started.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
It's such an abrupt change. And, like, now she's almost, like, flipping the blame onto this person.
Yes.
where she's just like, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it. Now I believe it, and it's your fault. Like, it's an immediate, yeah, like, boom.
Won't finish what you started. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's sort of like starting a fire where you get a little spark going, right? If I'm going to bring sparks back into this. And then that fire burns, and then it dies, and it goes dark, mm-hmm, like she talks about in that first verse. Like, you're not going to put another log on this fire. You won't finish what you started. She's the only one.
These are some great puns, Sam. Keep going. Keep going.
I was going for more, like, analogies than puns.
The log on the fire fills me with desire is one of my favorite Christmas lines, and I can't not think of that.
Fills me with desire. What song is that?
It's Carpenter. It's... To see you and to say, why are we singing Christmas carols on Halloween? That I wish you Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
It's Merry such a like Christmas, sexual baby. Christmas song. And Logs on the Fire Fill Me With the Desire is very sexual. And so you just like talked about putting, he didn't put a log on that fire.
Rachel, get your mind out of the gutter, all right? This is haunted. This is a sad, gut-wrenching, haunted, angry, desperate, like, all the emotion types of song. And technically, that's not the end of the song. I think it's important to mention that she goes back to those, like, first lines.
And my favorite line is the very last one, which she adds on, and it says, never thought I'd see it. End. The song ends.
Nope. It just ends.
Like, the
it just
song
cuts.
Ends where... Oh, it's so good. Never ever thought I'd see it break.
Never thought I'd see it. Oh, well, wipe your tears, ladies. We have gone through the song Haunted.
It's a great Halloween setting the stage for our Halloween vibes for this week.
Nina, do you have a Halloween costume figured out this year?
Yes, a coworker and I are going as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Of course you are.
Oh my
God. I got to get my blonde wig.
Tell me that you're going as Travis Kelce.
That would actually be even funnier.
That would be really funny.
Because we were talking at school the other day. We're like, oh, whatever. Because Halloween's on a Tuesday this year. We're like, oh, what should we be? And he was like, I just have football jerseys. And I'm like, do you have a Chiefs football jersey? He was like, yeah. I was like, easy. You're Travis Kelce. I'm Taylor Swift.
Done. Do you I'll have a blonde wig?
No, I'm going to get one. I'll find one. Amazon or something.
I can't wait to see it.
It'll be fun.
Okay. Sam, Nina, all right. Listen, something's gone terribly wrong. My cocktail is gone. So that means the podcast must be done. Now, I know what you're thinking. Come on, don't leave me like this. I need to know what we are doing next week. And Sam, you just know, right? you've known all this time, actually. Yeah. Actually, we both have known all this time.
That's true.
Because you already announced it 2 weeks ago, and then we skipped it. So, Sam, but tell us again, what song are we talking about next week?
All right, you've already called out my patriarchy, so it's only right that we get into the song The Man, and that will be our song next week.
I love it.
So, all right, Swiggies, if you feel like you can't breathe whenever we're gone from your speakers, then come back and haunt us over on our social media platforms. Be sure to follow us on Swift and Swigs Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. If you listen to us on Spotify, please subscribe. Nina, I cannot thank you enough for joining us on this episode. This was your song choice. I'm so glad you chose this.
Thanks for having me. I love talking about Taylor Swift, and I'm so happy that I finally got to come join you guys.
We talked about this when we were tailgating before the Eras tour. We had a few cruel blue summer cocktails, and I was like, Nina, you need to be a guest on our podcast. And without hesitation, you were like, absolutely cannot
wait. Absolutely.
So,
like, I've been counting down the days.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Rachel, always a pleasure. Nina, so good to have you here. We will see
Thanks
you next week.
Thanks for haunting us, Nina.
Thanks for haunting us, everybody.
Of course. See y'all later.
Ciao.